2 Kings in chapter 5 in the first verse. But Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man before his master and honorable, for by him Jehovah had given deliverance to Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Oh, that my lord were before the prophet that is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." And he went and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, "Well, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of gold and 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now when this letter comes to thee, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest cure him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the God of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his garments and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks an occasion against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his garments, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why hast thou rent thy garments? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the end doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will certainly come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and the Pharpa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be cleaned?" And he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants drew near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bidden thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And now I pray thee, take a servant present of thy servant." But he said, "As Jehovah liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "If not, then let there, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of this earth, for thy servant will no more offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to other gods, but to Jehovah." You may wonder why I read a passage from the Old Testament in the preaching of God's glad tidings, but it's a lovely illustration of a man who's healed from a condition that is no one else at the time could do anything for. It speaks to me of a man who's cleansed from sin because he follows the word from God himself. Naaman was a great man, captain of the host of the kings of Syria, been used to deliver Syria, I assume possibly, from the children of Israel, from some of the other surrounding countries, but he had this terrible disease of leprosy. It doesn't seem as if the Syrians kept such people in isolation like the children of Israel would have done. He seemed to be living at home, he seemed to ways. They had done a raid on Israel and brought down some captives, including this little maid. I often wonder about the way that things work out. We don't understand so many of them. We can't understand so many of them. But God's hand is over everything. And certainly he saw to it that this little maid that came into Naaman's house was one who knew God and knew something of the power that was available in with God, may we say, to cleanse the sinner. She brings this message to Naaman via his wife. Oh, that my Lord were before the prophet that is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. And the message is passed to the Lord. And the Naaman goes and tells the king of Syria. And he said, well, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. We can but give it a try. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And Naaman departs and takes with him these gifts for the king of Israel. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel seemed to be in as much darkness about God's power as anyone in Syria was. The light at that time was in the household of this man, Naaman, in his household, in this little girl who seemed to know God was able to save sinners, save to the uttermost. I love that verse in Hebrews, the way it speaks of he's able to save completely, or save to the uttermost. And that's what God can do. He can do it for every sinner. No sinner is beyond God's power. No sinner is beyond what God can do for him because of the work of the blessed Saviour on Calvary's tree. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. I love to think of what Jesus did then. We often think of it, but we need to think of it over and over again, that he bore my sins. Tremendous cost to himself when he died on Calvary's tree, when his blood was shed. Him says, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, but shed for me. That's the critical thing in the preaching, that we, each of us, accept the work of Christ for ourselves. It's not done in a family way, it's not done by towns, it's not done by nationalities. It's done between God and me, as I accept the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as the one who has borne my sins in his own body on the tree. So the king of Israel rends his garments. Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, see how he seeks an occasion against me. He was completely out of touch with what God was saying. He thought it was just something that Syria was doing against him, a rival nation, but it wasn't that at all. There was a man there, a prophet, Elisha, who speaks to us of one who had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ with him. Elisha heard that the king of Israel had rent his garments, then he sent to the king saying, why hast thou rent thy garments? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. He shall know that there is Jesus available to save from sins. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. I love to think of that retinue coming, all those horses, those long line of people, all waiting for this tremendous reception from the prophet. God doesn't work that way. God sends a message through his servant Elisha. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall become again as the flesh of a little child, and thou shalt be clean. Go and wash in the Jordan sometime. What a message. What a message. How simple it all is. And yet, poor Naaman, he doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see it that way. He thinks that other rivers are just as good. Why worry about Israel, the rivers of Israel, when there are perfectly good rivers in Damascus? The Abana and the Pharpar, are they not better than all the rivers of Israel put together? Can I not wash in one of those and be clean? That's not what God says. There are many people today who want to work out their own salvation by their own ways, maybe doing good things. A place for them, quite clearly. But God wants us to be obedient to his word. So he goes away in a rage. And I love to think of... I love to think of the way that the servants are able to approach Naaman. It says something to me about what Naaman was in his household. That his servants could come to him when he was in a great rage and speak to him. I think God had worked in Naaman's soul to receive this word. I think the ground was being prepared for God's word to go home to him. They say, my father, if the prophet had bidden thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says to thee, wash and be clean. What a word. The servants of a Syrian captain of the host. Men who seem to be better able to understand what God was saying than Naaman himself, or the captain, or the king of Israel, or whoever. And he went down and plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. He did what God had said to him. He was obedient to the glad tidings. He accepted God's offer of salvation through the work of Jesus. And so that brings us right up to date. The message for today, the message of the glad tidings in 2014, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The work has been done at Calvary. Jesus' blood has been shed. It's for you and I to take account and advantage of what Jesus has done and find peace with God through believing on our Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. How simple. In a sense, and yet it defies all the human logic. It adds nothing to talk to the person who accepts that work. And it didn't here. Naaman didn't want to go into that river, but he did it. And the 7th time, his flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He would look at himself and say, look at the difference. I can't believe this. As it all happened, the flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I only read on into the chapter to just draw attention to the fact that he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And then later on, he says, I will no more offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to other gods, but to Jehovah. He'd found the one true God. God had spoken to him through the prophet, and he accepted what God had said to him. He'd found the blessing. He'd seized hold of an opportunity that might never appear again, might never occur again, of being cleansed through accepting the word and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said before, it's exactly the same today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The message goes out again today. Believe on him. Put your trust in the work that was done over 2,000 years ago. And find peace with God. I think of how rare a commodity true peace with God is these days. Even peace among men. We think of the problems that go on still in the area of the world of which we've read. Constant battles, constant fighting, no peace there at all. Attempts to arrive at some form of peace deal, or even a truce, but they never get very far. One side or the other decides to break the truce. War breaks out again. The rockets start flying one way or the other. But God offers peace. Peace not in the world, but peace in there. Peace with God. And a peace that's able to keep us while we're left here. Well, may God encourage us as we think of what he did to Nam, what he's done to me, to put our trust increasingly in him. For his name's sake.